سورة إبراهيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ألف لام را. كتاب أنزلناه إليك لتخرج الناس من الظلمات إلى النور بإذن ربهم إلى صراط العزيز الحميد. ألف لام را. This is a book which we have revealed to you in order that you might lead mankind out of darkness into light by their Lord's leave to the path of the Almighty, the owner of all praise. Allah, to whom belongs all that is in the heavens and all that is in the earth. And woe unto the disbelievers from a severe torment. الَّذِينَ يَسْتَحِبُّونَ حَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا عَلَى الْآخِرَةِ. Those who prefer the life of this world to the hereafter and hinder people from the path of Allah and see crookedness therein, they are far astray. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts this surah with a reminder that the revelation of this Quran has come لِتُخْرِجَ النَّاسَ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ, to bring people out of darkness into light. In other words, to bring us out of darknesses of superstitions and fears and cultural rituals and discrimination against women and discrimination against the weaker sections of society, to bring us out from oppression into light and justice. بِإِذْنِ رَبِّهِمْ, by the consent of their Lord, إِلَى صِرَاطِ الْعَزِيزِ الْحَمِيدِ, to the path of the Almighty, the Praiseworthy. Now Allah reminds us that if we are seeking the straight path, if we are seeking guidance, then this is the path to guidance. هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ, a guidance for the Allah conscious. And Allah says, Al-Aziz Al-Hamid. Why is Allah says Al-Aziz Al-Hamid over here? To remind us that He is the Almighty. He can punish us if He wills. He does not need our ibadah. He is Al-Hamid, He is praiseworthy in Himself. He doesn't need our glorifying Him to be glorified. He is praiseworthy in Himself. Allah, who is Nurus Samawati Wal-Ard, He is the light of the heavens and the earth. He does not need our meager ibadah to become glorified. Allah, to whom belongs all that is in the heavens and all that is in the earth. And woe to the disbelievers from a severe torment. Who are the kafirin? We're not the kafirin, are we? Let's read the ayat. الَّذِينَ يَسْتَحِبُّونَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا عَلَى الْآخِرَةِ. Those who prefer the life of this world over the hereafter. How do we prefer the life of this world over the hereafter? Simply by not doing anything for the hereafter. People say, oh, my children are so young, what can I do? And my job doesn't leave me time to read the Quran. And I have to pursue my career first. And then I have to get married, and then I have to raise my children, and then I have to get them married. And it goes on and on and on. And then when we're old and we have nothing better to do, we sit and read the Quran the whole day long. الَّذِينَ يَسْتَحِبُّونَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا عَلَى الْآخِرَةِ. Let's look not at our speech. It's easy for us to talk and say, oh, we love Allah. Allah knows that we want to do something for Him. Let's look at our time management. How do we spend our time? What do we do when we get up in the morning? How do we spend our day? How do we spend our nights? Serving Allah or serving people? Those who prefer the life of this world to the hereafter and hinder from the path of Allah. How do we hinder people from the path of Allah? By setting a bad example for them. If I'm not obeying Allah, if I'm showing that I'm not interested in the Quran, then others will look at me and say, well, she isn't doing it either. So, you know, if nobody's listening to the Quran, so Allah can't punish all of us. Those who prefer the life of this world, that's how it starts, love of this world. Love of my children, love of my spouse, love of my house, love of my job, love of my career. Allah has not condemned the dunya, but Allah says don't forget the hereafter. Look at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He fulfilled all his worldly duties. He was a ruler, he was a husband, he was a father. He didn't abandon all those duties. He didn't just sit in one corner and glorify Allah all day long. He fulfilled both huququllah and huququl ibad. When is dunya condemned? When it becomes an obstacle in the path of our nearness to Allah. When my children become the reason that I don't have time for the Quran. When my children become the reason that I don't have time for salat. When my job becomes the reason that I don't have time for the Quran. That's when dunya is condemned. Otherwise, wealth is regarded as a blessing. What did Sulaiman alayhi salam say? إِنِّي أَحْبَبْتُ حُبَّ الْخَيْرِ عَنْ ذِكْرِ رَبِّي. I love wealth because it's a means of my remembering Allah. When the dunya brings us closer to Allah, then it becomes a blessing. But when dunya keeps us away from Allah, then it is a curse. Allah says, such people are far astray. We did not send a messenger except with the language of his people in order that he might make clear for them. But we are not even interested in studying the sunnah. We say, oh, we don't know which hadith are accurate and which hadith are not, so let's just stick to the Quran. What does Allah say? لِيُبَيِّنَ لَهُمْ So he can make things clear for them. That's why the Prophet ﷺ was sent, so he could live the Quran. What did Hazrat Aisha say of him? كَانَ خُلُقُهُ الْقُرْآنِ His conduct was the Quran. He showed us how to act upon it. But if we're not even interested in seeking that knowledge, then fine, we can just stray in darknesses. فَيُضِلُّ اللَّهُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ Allah misleads whom He wills and guides whom He wills. Does that mean it's Allah's fault? No. What did we just read? يَهْدِي إِلَيْهِ مَنْ أَنَابُ Allah guides towards Himself one who seeks Him, and He is the Almighty, the All-Wise. Indeed, we sent Musa with our sign, saying, أخرج قومك من الظلمات إلى النور Bring out your people from darkness into light and remind them of the days of Allah. What days of Allah are these? Those historical events whereby people were destroyed when they had disobeyed Allah. See, we read the stories of the people of Ad and Samud and we shudder a little and we think, well, they were people of long ago and they sinned. And we don't stop to analyze ourselves that if we are committing the same sins, then we are heading towards the same punishment God forbid. إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِكُلِّ صَبَّرٍ شَكُورٍ Indeed, therein are signs for everyone who has sabr, for everyone who gives thanks. Why have sabr and shukr been linked together? It's very simple, really. The mu'min is either in a state of blessing, upon which he should be thanking Allah and doing shukr, or he's in a state of trial, and he's going through some problem, upon which he should be doing sabr. Allah is teaching us here that sabr and shukr are two sides of the same coin. That's why we find Sulaiman alayhi salam who had everything, and we find Ayub alayhi salam who had nothing. Yet both were worshipping Allah, one by doing sabr, and the other by doing shukr. وَإِذْ قَالَ مُوسَى لِقَوْمِهِ Remember when Musa said to his people, Remember Allah's blessings upon you, when He delivered you from Pharaoh's people, who were afflicting you with a terrible torment, and were slaughtering your sons, and letting your women live. وَفِي ذَلِكُمْ بَلَاءٌ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ عَظِيمٌ And in this was a tremendous trial from your Lord. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us of Musa alayhi salam's call to his people. When he reminded them of Allah's blessing upon them, when Allah delivered them from Pharaoh and Pharaoh's cruelty, وَإِذْ تَأَذَّنَ رَبُّكُمْ لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ Remember when your Lord proclaimed, If you give thanks, I will definitely give you more. If we could only internalize this ayat and act upon it, all of our problems would come to an end. لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ If you give thanks, I will definitely give you more. What are we busy saying? Oh, Allah doesn't care, and Allah, I've done so much for Allah, and I gave so many sadqat, and I read all the du'as that I was supposed to read, and I read all those prayers, and still Allah hasn't heard my du'a. However, I'll go on doing sabr, but really it's very difficult. We're too busy whining the whole day. Allah says, if you give thanks, I will give you more. But if you are ungrateful, وَلَئِنْ كَفَرْتُمْ إِنَّ عَذَابِي لَشَدِيدٌ Then know that my punishment is indeed severe. Now there are different kinds of shukr. There's one kind of shukr where I say shukr alhamdulillah. And we say that day in and day out. That's not all. Shukr is when I use that gift which Allah has bestowed me for the reason that He gave it to me. For instance, you give someone a suit of clothes, a beautiful suit of clothes. And the next time you meet them, you see that they're not even wearing it and they've thrown it away. Or they've just crumpled it up and they've not bothered to iron it or have it stitched properly. What would you say? You've not valued my gift. In the same way, Allah has given us hearing. Allah has given us sight. Allah has given us intelligence. Allah has given us talent, time, energies, knowledge. What are we doing with all these blessings? True shukr is when we are using them for Allah's sake. And if we're not, if we're making our eyes see that which we want to see, which Allah doesn't want us to see, if we're making our ears listen to that which we want to hear, not which Allah wants us to hear, then we're not doing shukr. We're being ungrateful. We're not valuing His gift. What has Allah told us in the Quran? اِتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ Be conscious of Allah as is His right. One of the scholars defined Allah's right upon us that he should be remembered and not forgotten, that he should be thanked and not denied, and above all, that he should be obeyed and not disobeyed. Because Allah says, if you are ungrateful, if you are going to disobey me, إِنَّ عَذَابِي لَشَدِيدٌ, then my punishment is indeed severe. وَقَالَ مُوسَىٰ إِن تَكْفُرُوا أَنْتُمْ وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَغَنِيٌّ حَمِيدٌ. Musa said, if you disbelieve, you and all those on earth together, indeed Allah is rich, owner of all praise. Allah doesn't need our ibadat. People who say, oh, I'm angry with Allah, I'm not going to pray anymore. Allah didn't need their prayer in the first place. We need our prayer. We need this ibadat so that we can get Jannah on the Day of Judgment. Allah tells us in a Hadith Qudsi, O my slaves, if the first of you and the last of you and the men of you and the jinn of you were all to become the most pious amongst you, that would not increase my kingdom one jot. We read one prayer and we think we've conferred a great favor upon Allah. And he went on to say, and if the first of you and the last of you and the men of you and the jinn of you were to become the most wicked amongst you, مَا نَقَصَ ذَلِكَ فِي مُلْكِ شَيْءٍ, that would not diminish my kingdom one jot. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَغَنِيٌّ حَمِيدٌ, he is rich, free of all needs, حَمِيدٌ, he is praiseworthy in himself. Has not the news reached you of those before you, the people of Nuh and Ad and Thamud, and those after them? None knows them but Allah. To them came their messengers with clear proofs, but they put their hands in their mouths and said, indeed we disbelieve in that with which you have been sent, and we are really in grave doubt as to that which you invite us. قَالَتْ رُسُلُهُمْ أَفِي اللَّهِ شَكُّمْ, their messengers said, what? Can there be a doubt about Allah, the creator of the heavens and the earth? He calls you that he may forgive you for your sins and give you respite for a term appointed. This is why Allah is calling us, not because he needs us, so that he can answer our needs, forgive us our sins. They said, you are no more than human beings like us. You wish to turn us away from what our fathers used to worship. Then bring us a clear proof. Their messenger said to them, we are no more than human beings like you, but Allah bestows his grace to whom he wills of his slaves. It is not us to bring you an authority except by the permission of Allah. وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَلْيَتَوَكَّلِ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ, and in Allah alone that the believers put their trust. The messengers are not intimidated. They're not frightened by their threats. They say, well, we simply have to convey the message. And why should we not trust in Allah, while he indeed has guided us our ways? And we shall certainly bear with patience all the hurt that you may cause us. And in Allah alone that those who trust put their trust. And those who disbelieved said to their messengers, surely we shall drive you out of our land, or you shall return to our religion. So their Lord revealed to them, truly we shall destroy the wrongdoers, and indeed we shall make you dwell in the land after them. ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامِي وَخَافَ وَعِيدٍ, this is for him who fears standing before me and also fears my threat. What is this? In other words, Allah says, when someone fears him, then Allah gives them worldly blessings as well as spiritual blessings. خَافَ مَقَامِي, who fears standing before me. Allah has not said the Day of Judgment. Allah says, the person who is afraid of standing before me. How many times a day do we think of the hereafter? Or if we think of the hereafter, do we think of ourselves standing before Allah? أَلْيَوْمَ جِئْتُمُونَ فُرَادًا كَمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ, and imagine Allah telling us, today you have come to us alone as we created you the first time. مَا نَرَى مَعَكُمْ شَفَعَاكُمْ, we don't see with you your intercessors. Have we imagined that moment? Have we prepared for that moment? Allah says, this is for him who fears standing before me and also fears my threat. And the messenger sought victory and help, and every obstinate, arrogant dictator was brought to a complete destruction. In front of him is hell, وَيُسْقَى مِنْ مَاءٍ صَدِيدٍ, and he will be made to drink boiling, festering water. يَتَجَرَّعُهُ, he will sip it unwillingly, and he will find a great difficulty in swallowing it down his throat. وَيَأْتِيهِ الْمَوْتُ مِنْ كُلِّ مَكَانٍ, death will come to him from every side. وَمَا هُوَ بِمَيِّتٍ, yet he will not die. When we are in an extreme of agony, what do we call it? I wish I could die. I wish it could end. I wish it would end. And you say, oh, I was almost dying with pain. On that day, in hell, people will be almost dying, but none will truly die. ومن ورائه عذاب غليظ. In front of him will be a terrible torment. مثل الذين كفروا بربهم أعمالهم كرماد اشتدت به الريح في يوم عاصف لا يقدرون مما كسبوا على شيء ذلك هو الضلال البعيد. The parable of those who disbelieved in their Lord is that their works are as ashes, on which the wind blows furiously on a stormy day. They shall not be able to get anything of what they have earned. That is the straying far away. Look at the example Allah has given us. The example of those who disbelieve in their Lord. Now we've done the different kinds of kufr. One in which you disbelieve in Allah. Like people who say we don't believe in organized religion. If they don't believe in Allah, then they should not expect any reward from Allah. If they're doing their works of philanthropy just to please people or to help humanity, and they're not doing it to please Allah, then they needn't expect any reward from Allah. Then we have those people who do good deeds. They believe in Allah, but their deeds are spoiled by their ri'ah. What is ri'ah? Ash-shirkul asghar, the lesser shirk. When we do a good deed, but we start thinking, oh, people must think I am really pious. Riyah is the one intention which poisons our deed, which deletes our deed completely. We learn from a hadith, Allah says, the Prophet ﷺ told us, the gist of which was that on the day of judgment, a martyr will come. And Allah will say, what did you do for me? Now imagine ourselves standing before Allah and Allah saying, what did you do for me? What answer would we be able to give him? And the martyr will say, I gave my life for you. Allah will say, you lie. You did it so people should call you a martyr. Then the scholar will be brought forward. And Allah will ask him, what did you do for me? And the scholar will say, I taught this Quran for you. I studied this knowledge for you. And Allah will say, you lie. You did it so people should call you a scholar. And so they will both be thrown into hell. Why? Their deeds are as ashes. What is the thing about ashes? They don't have any substance. And so when the wind blows furiously on them on a stormy day, they're all blown away. What gives our deeds substance? What gives our deeds weight and stability? Iman and the intention with which we're doing that deed. Remember that one companion who worked all night pumping that well just to earn a handful of dates. How much Allah valued those dates. Why? It was just one handful of dates. It was the iman, it was the khulus, the sincerity behind his actions that gave those deeds so much weight, so much value in Allah's eyes. Every time we do a good deed, we need to analyze it. Am I doing it for Allah? Or now has my deed become adulterated? Am I doing it so people admire me? ذَلِكَ هُوَ الضَّلَالُ الْبَعِيدُ. That is the straying far away. Whether we're doing it because we don't believe in Allah or we're doing it because we want people to admire us, the end result is the same, like ashes, no substance, no reality, no weight. That is the straying far away. أَلَمْ تَرَى أَنَّ اللَّهَ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ بِالْحَقِّ. Don't you see that Allah has created the heavens and the earth for a purpose? It wasn't just created so we could eat, drink and be merry for tomorrow we die. And oh, I have a good job and I have a beautiful house and I have two lovely children and that's it. And I'm a winner. Do you not see that Allah has created the heavens and the earth with truth? There's a purpose behind life. If He willed, He could remove you and bring in your place a new creation. For Allah, that is not difficult. And they shall all appear before Allah. None of us will be left behind. Then the weak will say to those who are arrogant, indeed, we were following you. Can you help us against Allah's torment? They will say, had Allah guided us, we would have guided you. It makes no difference now whether we rage or we bear these torments with patience. مَا لَنَا مِن مَحِيز. There is no place of refuge for us. Now imagine, in this world people say, oh, do this sin for me, tell this lie for my sake, come to that party for my sake, don't do hijab for my sake, push back your dupatta for my sake, and we say, all right, they'll take the sin on that day. On that day, Allah exposes the fallacy of this thinking. The weak will say to those who were arrogant, we were following you. We listened to you. Can you help us now? And they will say, of course not. Now, whether we grin and bear it or we scream out loud, we don't have any refuge. وَقَالَ الشَّيْطَانُ لَمَّا قُضِيَ الْأَمْرُ. Who is the greatest deceiver of all? Who led people astray? Shaitan will say when the matter has been decided, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَعَدَكُمْ وَعْدَ الْحَقِّ. Indeed, Allah promised you a promise of truth. And I too promised you, but I betrayed you. And just think about how much people will hate him when he says that. I had no authority over you except that I called you and you responded to me. So don't blame me, blame yourself. And at the end of the day, Shaitan can't really force us into disobeying Allah. He can just put that evil suggestion in our hearts. It's up to us then. The choice is ours. I cannot help you, nor can you help me. I deny your former act in associating me as a partner with Allah. Indeed, there is a painful torment for the zalimeen. Who are the zalimeen? Who give someone else their right. Who deprived Allah of his right of worship and gave it to Shaitan instead. Who deprived Allah of the right of being obeyed above all and gave that right to their own nafs instead. And on that day, even Shaitan is admitting there is a painful torment for the wrongdoers. See, we need to analyze this ayat very carefully. Shaitan is openly saying that I had no force over you, except that I called you and you responded to me. What is it that keeps us from obeying Shaitan? Our iman. As Yusuf alayhi salam said, indeed the soul tends towards evil. Illa ma rahima rabbi. In other words, we need iman in Allah. We need to call out to Allah's mercy to protect us from Shaitan. You can understand it from a simple everyday example. If someone has very low resistance to diseases, like people with AIDS have no immunity, so what happens? Any germ going by, any disease, and they catch it. So in the same way, we need to think of iman as a defense, as our resistance against Shaitan. The lower our resistance, the greater our vulnerability. The more we will listen to Shaitan, because the iman is not there, because that fear of the day of judgment is not there. So Shaitan's words seem beautiful and it seems like a good thing to do. Allah says there is a painful torment for the wrongdoers. Don't do zulm upon yourselves. مَا ظَلَمُونَ وَلَكِنْ أَنفُسَهُمْ يَزْلِمُونَ. People who disobey Allah are doing the greatest zulm upon themselves. And those who believed and did good deeds will be made to enter gardens under which rivers flow to dwell therein forever. بِإِذْنِ رَبِّهِمْ. With the permission from their Lord. And people say, oh, forget Allah, run to Muhammad. With the permission from their Lord. We need to please Allah before we please anyone else. تَحِيَّتُهُمْ فِيهَا سَلَامٌ. Their greeting therein will be peace. Peace from all aspects. Peace for eternity. They won't be worried about their wealth being taken away, or their house being robbed, or their house in Jannah being burgled, or someone kidnapping them. See, in this world, no matter how much wealth we have, there are always fears, always insecurities, always worries. What if this happens? What if my child falls sick? What if my child is kidnapped? What if, you know, there's always a myriad doubts and uncertainties and fears that are in our mind. But there in Jannah, salam, peace, tranquility, all fear at an end. La khawfun alayhim wa lahum yahsanun. No fears, no tensions and no griefs. Alam tara kayfa daraba Allahu mathala kalimatan tayyiba kashajaratin tayyiba asluha thabitun wa far'uha fis samaa'i tu'ti yukulaha kulla hinin bi'idhni rabbiha wa yadribu Allahu al-amthala lin-nas la'allahum yatadhakkarun. Do you not see how Allah sets forth a parable, a beautiful word, as a beautiful tree, whose root is firmly fixed and whose branches reach to the sky, giving its fruit at all times by the leave of its Lord? And Allah sets forth parables for mankind in order that they may take heed. We need to understand this example. What is this word firstly? La ilaha illallah. Now in the beginning there's just a seed, a tiny seed of iman, just that la ilaha illallah in a person's heart. Now before that seed can grow, what do we need? We need water. We need the rain of divine guidance, as we read today. The rain of this Quran, the rain of this Sunnah, the rain of knowledge of Islam. Then what happens? The tree gains its strength and nourishment from its roots. As your iman grows, as you develop your iman by the five pillars of Islam. The stronger the iman, the more fruitful will be the deeds of a person. The main trunk is salat, thus forming a direct link with Allah through prayer. Then we see the trunk of the tree separating into different branches, zakat, fasting, hajj. After these branches, in other words, huququllah, then we come to the collective level. In other words, huququl ibad. It's not just about prayers and fasting, it's about the rights of people upon us. The smaller branches signify relationships with people, such as our roles as a mother, as a wife, as a teacher, as a student, as a friend, as a daughter. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us, of deenun nasiha. Deen is well-wishing, it's sincerity, it's caring about others, it's caring about all those around you. Then we learn that the tree not only blossoms but yields fruits and flowers. Now what are the fruits and flowers on the tree? These fruits are man's character, appearance and role. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam once said, the most complete of the believers in Iman is he who is the best of them in character. He has softness, he has humility, he has modesty, he has tolerance, he has moderation, justice, integrity. The seed of Iman always gives its fruit and is evergreen, in good times and in bad times, in wealth and in adversity, with friends or with enemies. It gives shade to those who seek it. Its fruits are man's deeds, the goodness of his character. In other words, the believer is like a rose. Even to the hand that crushes it, it still gives its scent. This is the kalima tayyibah, a good word. The entire aspect of an individual is brought into perspective. This kalima tayyibah, the seed of Iman in our hearts. And Allah sets forth parables for mankind in order that they may take heed. Now one more thing that we know, a tree doesn't grow in a day, it takes many years. So in the same way as we read in the example where Allah reminded us of the way gold is purified, you can't purify it instantly, it has to pass through stages. In the same way, it takes time, it takes constancy, sabr, perseverance before we can attain this level. وَمَثَلُ كَلِمَةٍ خَبِيثَةٍ And the opposite end of the spectrum, the example of an evil word, is that of an evil tree uprooted from the surface of earth, having no stability. What does this mean, having no stability? Someone who doesn't believe in Allah alone, who doesn't obey Allah alone, he's busy trying to please his friends, his spouse, his parents, his in-laws, his children, his neighbors, his society, what happens? Such a man spends his life in confusion, trying to please a multitude of gods and ending up pleasing none. Remember the story in Aesop's fable where there's a man with his son and they've got a donkey. And first the son is riding on the donkey and people say, what are you doing? Why aren't you sitting on the donkey? So he takes the son off and sits on the donkey. And then the people say, why is your son walking by? He should be on the donkey. And then in the end of the story, you know, the man and the son are trying to carry the donkey. The moral of the story being, when you try and please people, you end up pleasing none. But if you try and please Allah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds, لِلَّذِينَ اسْتَجَابُوا لِرَبِّهِمُ الْحُسْنَى For those who answer their Lord, He will appreciate them, He will value them, He will love them. Allah will keep firm those who believe with the word that stands firm in this world. Allah will give them fearlessness. لَا يَخَافُونَ لَوْمَةَ لَائِمٍ They will not fear the blame of anyone who blames. In this world and in the hereafter, on that day when everyone is petrified with fright, they alone will be at peace. And Allah will cause to go astray those who are the wrongdoers. And Allah does what He wills. Again, Allah uses zalimeen. When we do not obey Allah above all, and we start obeying people, then we are doing zulm, and the greatest zulm is on our own selves. Have you not seen those who changed the blessings of Allah into disbelief and caused their people to dwell in the house of destruction? Jahannama, hell in which they will burn, and what an evil place to settle in. And they set up rivals to Allah to mislead people from His path. Tell them, enjoy your brief life, but certainly your destination is hellfire. قُلْ لِعِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا Say to my slaves who have believed. Now do we want to be Allah's slaves or Shaitan's slaves? Allah is saying, tell my slaves who have believed. What a moment of intimacy that they should establish salah and spend in charity out of the sustenance we have given them secretly and openly before the coming of a day on which there will be neither mutual bargaining or befriending. Allah is He who has created the heavens and the earth. Allah sends down water from the sky and thereby brought forth fruits as provision for you, and He has made the ships to be of service to you, that they may sail through the sea by His command, and He has made rivers to be of service to you, and He has made the sun and the moon, both constantly pursuing their courses, to be of service to you, and He has made the night and the day to be of service to you. وَآتَاكُمْ مِنْ كُلِّ مَا سَأَلْتُمُوهُ He gave you all that you asked for. وَإِنْ تَعُدُّ نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا If you count the blessings of Allah, never can you count them. Indeed, man is indeed an extreme wrongdoer, a disbeliever. وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ And remember when Ibrahim said, O my Lord, make this city one of peace and security, and we can still feel that peace when we enter. And keep me and my sons away from worshipping idols. O my Lord, they have indeed led many astray amongst mankind, but whoso follows me, hears of me, and whoso disobeys me, still you are indeed of forgiving, most merciful. Why does Ibrahim alayhi salam say, those who follow me? In other words, those who follow Ibrahim's path of Tawheed. مَا كَانَ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ He was not of those who did shirk. رَبَّنَا O our Lord, I have made some of my children to dwell in a barren valley by your sacred house in order, O our Lord, that they may perform salah. So fill some hearts among men with love towards them and, O Allah, provide them with fruits. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَشْكُرُونَ In order that they give thanks. Look at Ibrahim alayhi salam's dua for his children. What are our plans for our children? What is he saying? I have made some of my children to dwell in this barren valley so that they may establish salah. The mu'min puts the hereafter before dunya. In order they may establish salah, so fill some hearts among men with love for them and provide them with fruits so that they may give thanks. See, this is the balanced vision of a mu'min. He doesn't say, and oh Allah, let them suffer in this world so that they're purified. He says, no, give them worldly blessings as well. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَشْكُرُونَ In order that they give thanks. In other words, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَا O Allah, give us goodness in this world. Give us goodness in the hereafter. But see, in Ibrahim alayhi salam's dua, we find he starts by the hereafter. رَبَّنَا إِنَّكَ تَعْلَمُ مَا نُخْفِي وَمَا نُعْلِنُ O our Lord, certainly you know what we conceal and what we reveal. Nothing on the earth or in heaven is hidden from Allah. أَلْحَمْدُلِلَّهِ الَّذِي وَهَبَ لِي عَلَى الْكِبَرِ إِسْمَعِيلَ وَإِسْحَاقَ All praises are for Allah, who has given me in old age Ismail and Ishaq. Indeed, my Lord is the all-hearer of du'as. Look at the beauty of his love for Allah, that he was granted this child in his old age. But we people say, oh, I've prayed for so many years and my du'a is not being answered, so I'm not going to pray anymore. He says, Inna Rabbi lasamiu du'a, that Allah heard my du'a after 90 years, and so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's a proof of his love for me. رَبِّ جَعَلْنِي مُقِيمَ الصَّلَاةِ وَمِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِي رَبَّنَا وَتَقَبَّلْ دُعَا رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيَّ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَوْمَ يَقُومُ الْحِسَابِ This is one of the most comprehensive, beautiful du'as. If we teach it to our children, thus we ensure that they pray for us in every salat. O my Lord, make me one who establishes salat. And from my children, O our Lord, and accept our du'a. Look at him. He's still praying for constancy. Towards the end of his life, he's done so much for Allah, but he's still praying, O Allah, make me one who establishes salah. This is the humility of the mu'min. Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. That we still ask for guidance. And O our Lord, forgive me and my parents and all the believers on the day when the reckoning will be established. He's not just selfishly praying for himself, he's praying for the mu'mineen as well. Do not think that Allah is unaware of that which the wrongdoers do, but He gives them respite to a day when the eyes will stare in horror. They will be hastening forward with necks outstretched, their heads raised up towards the sky, their gaze not returning towards them, and their hearts empty. وَأَمْذِرِ النَّاسِ And warn mankind. Are we warning mankind? We aren't even warning ourselves. Warn mankind of the day when the torment will come to them. Then the wrongdoers will say, O our Lord, give us respite for a little while. We will answer your call and follow the messengers. It will be said, had you not sworn aforetime that you would not leave, that this life of the world, that's all there is? And you dwelt in the dwellings of men who wronged themselves, and it was clear to you how we had dealt with them, and we put forth many parables for you. Indeed, they planned their plot, and their plot was with Allah, though their plot was not such as to remove the mountains from their places. So do not think that Allah will fail to keep His promise to His messengers. Indeed, Allah is Almighty, All-Able of Retribution. يَوْمَ تُبَدَّلُ الْأَرْضُ غَيْرَ الْأَرْضِ وَالسَّمَاوَاتِ On the day when the earth will be changed to another earth. And so will the heavens, and they will all appear before Allah, the One, the Supreme. And you will see the criminals, not the disbelievers, the criminals, those who disobeyed Allah, bound together that day in fetters. Their garments will be of pitch and fire will cover their faces. لِيَجْزِيَ اللَّهُ كُلَّ نَفْسٍ مَا كَسَبَتْ that Allah may requite each person according to what he has earned. Indeed, Allah is swift at reckoning. هَذَا بَلَاغٌ لِلنَّاسِ This is a message for mankind. وَلِيُنذَرُوا بِهِ In order that they may be warned thereby. وَلِيَعْلَمُوا And that they may know. أَنَّمَا هُوَ إِلَهٌ وَاحِدٌ That he is the only one God. وَلِيَذَكَّرَ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ And that people of depth may take heed. At the end of the day, Allah reminds us, only one with depth, only one with profundity in him will accept this lesson and take heed. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانًا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ